Yesterday we were hearing about the fall of Brahminical culture through the agency of a small boy, Brahmana, son of a Brahmana, Dvijabandhu, who due to pride and also immaturity, he was the weak spot where the personality of Kali entered and acted. Now we spent some time discussing in the storyline why these anomalies in the behavior of Maharaj Parikshit were there. He pointed out three anomalies in Maharaj Parikshit's behavior. In his commentary in that section of this chapter, Jiva Goswami identifies three plans of the Lord. Now it said the plan of the Lord is inexplicable, but at the same time he can reveal it if he wants to. And Jiva Goswami is revealing what the Lord revealed to him, what his plan was, threefold plan. One, everybody knows. What was one of the plans of the Supreme Lord? Why did all of this uncommon behavior or unlikely behavior for Maharaj Parikshit? Why did he do like this? What was the Lord wanting? Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken for our benefit. So Maharaj Parikshit was the agent for our benefit. And it may happen like that, through a devotee being put in a calamitous situation, cursed to death. We may do so many things that if we look at the face of them, it looks awful. But if you look at the plan of the Lord, it's some service to the Lord. But that wasn't the beginning and the end of it. There were, Jiva Goswami identifies two other things. One of them, if you think a little bit about it, it's also kind of obvious. The Lord wanted to take Maharaj Parikshit back to Godhead. And so he did. He took him right back to Godhead. Fixed in Krishna consciousness, having heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was a third purpose of the Lord, which preceded taking Maharaj Parikshit back to Godhead, and that was inspiring Maharaj Parikshit to come to the position of full detachment, as calamities will sometimes have a way of doing. Of course, it can work the other way also. One becomes desperately attached. But when it's obvious that it's helpless, just like Draupadi. When Draupadi was holding on to her sari with one hand and calling out or gesturing to the Lord with her other hand, she realized it was hopeless. Although she was very strong, Dushasana was stronger. It was hopeless. So Draupadi, there was different plans of the Lord in that pastime also, but his plan, one of the plans, was to bring Draupadi to the position of complete helplessness. And same with here, Maharaj Parikshit, Jiva Goswami says, to bring him to the position of full detachment, because only when there's akinchana, when is without worldly attachment, can one take full shelter of the Lord and feelingly call upon him. It can be voluntary or it can be involuntary. In Maharaj Pariksit's case, Prabhupada said so many times, he was so powerful, he could have neutralized the curse. Or he could have made some arrangement to counter the curse. But he didn't do any of those things. He just accepted the curse with full detachment to bring him to that position. So the verses that we're going to be discussing this morning are 35, 6, and 7. And this is the conclusion of this little section where the Brahmana boy is speaking. And he's speaking out of envy or the fault finder. There's pride and envy. Those, they're very nice companions. Pride and envy. We're discussing pride. Pride is something that you have that is Krishna has given and you're proud of it. Envious is someone has something and you want that something. So you're envious of the someone because you want that something that they have. It's both are based in upon false ego, and they're centered around things. The mameti, mama iti, proprietorship, something that I have and something that I covet, I wish to have, but somebody else has it. So I'm envious of that someone else that has that something. The nature of envy is that person who has that something, they shouldn't have that something, I should have that something, and so there's fault finding. And the nature of fault finding, examine it when you see it happening. The nature of fault finding is, this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teaching, that one who engages in fault finding is simply disclosing the fact that within their own heart, that very same fault is honeycombed within their heart. Honeycombed, nice. You know what a honeycomb is, right? When how the bees store their honey, there are these little cylinders, many, many, many cylinders together makes a honeycomb. So they deposit, so you take the honey out and there's just this wax, empty wax shell that's a honeycomb. So one's heart is honeycombed with the very same fault when one is engaged in fault finding. And conversely, the nature of an elevated soul is that they cannot and do not find fault in others. And if they're in the association of anyone who is engaged in fault-finding, they immediately leave the place. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in relation to one of the very advanced Vaishnavas that had requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, to put into writing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. So that Pujari is described that he never spoke any word of criticism of another Vaishnava. You would never hear such a thing from him. And he would never, no one would come into his presence and do such a thing either. They wouldn't dare. And if someone would do such a thing, he would immediately get up and leave. He just wouldn't touch his ears. is described the nectar of instruction also. One who is free from the propensity of finding fault in others is an advanced Vaishnava. So, go the other direction, one who is not very advanced, they like doing that. And here the Brahmana son, Shingi, he's immediately doing it. He's accusing the king of something that he's guilty of. The verse, text 35. After the departure of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, and the supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished. He's the upstart who's flourishing in the absence of Krishna's being on the earth. Our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. There's pride accompanying the fault finding. Purport. The inexperienced Brahmana, puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas, became influenced by the spell of Kali Yuga. Maharaj Pariksit had given four places for the personality of Kali to reside. And by the expert rule of Maharaj Pariksit, there were no such places. Now, where Kali can reside means he makes havoc. He degrades people. He takes away their good qualities and puts in their place sinful behavior. That's what it means, where Kali resides. That's what it means. And there was no place. There was no place in the whole kingdom of Maharaj Pariksit. The personality of Kali was seeking an opportunity to establish authority. And by the grace of the Lord, he found a hole in the puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. Pride. Kali entered. The little Brahmana wanted to show his little prowess in destruction. And he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Pariksit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal signs of upstarts who want to take the place of Sri Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. I mean, he's saying it. It's explicitly his ambition. Krishna's gone, I'll be Krishna. Krishna for a day. And then Prabhupada explains, in the present time, do a survey how many incarnations of God there are in India today, or claiming that they are, or their followers claiming that they are. So many. I was once in some assembly and they were naming names of, you know, how many persons. There's one who's claiming to be an incarnation of Kalki. Yes? He's a little early. Wait for another 427,000 years. But because people don't read the scriptures, oh, Kalki avatar has come. So Prabhupada's conclusion, in other words, the personality of Kali got the opportunity to reign, rule, through this son of a Brahmana. The son of the Rishi, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharged a following thunderbolt of words. Just making a, like a child making a show of brahminical power. But, so there are, when the Vedas were divided into four, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, in the Atharva Veda, there are mantras, it's like the remainder. There's a, Rig, Sama, and Atharva Veda are, have their specific purposes, and Yajur, Rig, Sama, Yajur Vedas have their specific purposes, and the Atharva Veda has these, you know, thing where you can make something or destroy something through mantra. So apparently he had observed his father, or maybe even his father taught him these mantras, how to destroy something, how to create something. So he knew the mantra, how to create a snake with wings. It's mystical, because snakes don't have wings. And those that have wings are not snakes, they're birds. So, and it, but combining the two, it's mystical. It's not a real entity, it's a mystical entity. But it can act like a real entity. So he knew how to release that mantra. The boy's son cursed the king thus: on the seventh day from today, a snake bird, the Tatakshaka means snake bird, will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. Prabhupada points out, he's calling Maharaj Parikshit, this most wretched of one of that dynasty. But in fact, he's the most wretched of the one in the dynasty of Brahmanas from which he appeared. This is the nature of fault finding. One identifies one's own impurity or one's own fault by the agency of fault finding. See it the other way around. If one doesn't have such a fault in one's heart, one isn't engaged in the act of fault finding. One may very well see what's what, but he doesn't go around, yo, in fault finding. Rather, they're thinking in a pure-hearted way how to be of service in this situation, in this person's life, in this relationship, and the dynamic of what's going on. How can I be of some service? Because fault-finding is no service. It's a disservice. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the other person. It doesn't help oneself. We heard in the previous chapter, one who accuses another as a wrongdoer without thinking deeply on the subject matter can be as implicated as that wrongdoer as the one who's blaming the wrongdoer. One has to be careful. Prabhupada writes, the personality of Kali, again the same theme is being developed. The personality of Kali conquered the Brahmin boy first and gradually the other castes. Thus, the whole scientific system of the orders of society in this age has assumed the form of a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. One should see to the root cause of vitiation and not try to condemn the system as it is without knowledge of its scientific value. When world religion classes in the West teach about Hinduism, there's a few things that are pretty standard. One is they teach a trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, because that's from a Christian perspective. They also speak of trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so that's their idea of that's what this means. Somehow. It doesn't at all match, but that's how they think of it. And they think of polytheism, and they think of the caste system. So what Prabhupada has said here, that's a vitiated display where distort, you take something, you distort it, and you have something that isn't even the real thing anymore, but people think of it as the real thing. So, caste system is not the real thing. We're not supporters of the caste system. But we are supporters of the Sanatan Dharma system, or the Varnashram Dharma system, where that which, because Krishna has created it, Chaktur Varna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. But what Krishna has created is not based upon birth. What Krishna has created is guna and karma, according to quality and work, one is in a particular varna. Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Maya Shrishtam, Krishna has created it, his Shrishti, Shakti, his creative potency has created these four divisions. So, like Srila Prabhupada says, someone may say it doesn't exist, but it exists. It exists everywhere in all cultures around the world because Krishna created it. There's no such notion in America of the four varnas. But the divisions are naturally there. There's intellectuals, there's administrators, there are persons who are productive and mercantile class and agricultural class. And there's a working class. It's everywhere. It doesn't go by the name, but it's there. Or in Russia, Prabhupada remarked to Professor Katovsky, you say classless society, but in my morning walk I was seeing there's a lady sweeping in the street, and here comes the big limousine carrying the diplomat to the Kremlin. I see classes in your society, and the merchants are selling their wares, their vegetables and their foodstuffs. They're out there selling. There's the Vaishyas. There's the Shudras. There's the Kshatriyas. And you're Professor Katovsky. There's divisions in society. Natural divisions. You say classless society. I say Krishna's created four divisions of work. And they're natural. So the vitiation is according to birth. And the statement of Krishna is according to quality and one's past activity, guna and karma. That determines one's varna. Of course, within the Vedic system, to take birth in a Brahmana family is generally the result of years and years, excuse me, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of proper performance of prescribed duty, so that gradually one becomes elevated to the quality of goodness, and in the quality of goodness one takes birth in the family in the quality of goodness, when things are being followed properly, and similarly the other positions. However, in this age of Kali, when things are not being followed properly, the scriptures state, everyone, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan, is an equality of Shudra. It's unfortunate, but that's the fact, stated in scripture. So, Prabhupada's appeal is, don't throw out the system that has its purpose, because the system has been deviated and distorted beyond recognition anymore. The distortion of that system, once again, was the influence of Kali. He ruled, he reigned over a Brahmana, the son of one Brahmana, young boy, immature, inexperienced, and proud. He entered. And by the contamination of that individual, other individuals, and similarly in other classes of society, is the domino effect we're hearing. And so over time then, I'm a Brahmana. And then those that are not of my stature, they're untouchable. So that had to be broken by persons that didn't like that abuse, and they created another abuse. And that's the influence of Kali also. So the value of this, it's the specific value of this section, repeating what we heard already, is we're getting a very clear picture of how degradation begins. If we can understand how we got into the predicament that we're in, it's much easier to get out. Just like we're sitting in the temple room. So how did we get here? Most of us came through the door. So if we want to get out, we go through the door. Because that's how we came in. Very logical, yes? So, how did we get into this predicament where character and culture becomes degraded? Repeated, Prabhupada is explaining. This section of the Bhagavatam is telling us how it began. Where's that doorway that we entered? That society entered. So let's go back through that same door. Those that are capable of performing the activities of, or exhibiting the qualities of a Brahmana, by training, if one can exhibit the qualities of a Brahmana once again, and maintain that pridelessness and humility, knowledge of the scripture, and the other characteristics, if that can be developed, then we've gone out the same door we came in. So how to do that, that's challenging, very challenging. But the principle is described here. Very simple principle, it's hearing and chanting. That's the Bhagavad Dharma method, hearing and chanting. And from whom? From a qualified person. And then so submitting to that qualified person, through the association of that qualified person, become qualified. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam that describes this principle of association to be like a Vaidurya stone. A Vaidurya stone takes on the coloration of whatever is the object that it's near to. So put it next to something that's blue, it becomes blue. Put it next to something that's red, it becomes red. Put it next to something that's green, it becomes green. A Vaidurya stone. So like the Vaidurya stone, association is something that you take on the qualities of those with whom you associate. So selecting good association in your life is very important. And not only selecting good association, but very carefully cultivating nice quality association with those who you've selected. Develop nice relationship, very open, transparently open relationship with those very qualified persons, and you'll take on those qualities of those persons. That's how the principle of association works. It works in reverse also. Going back to the 17th chapter that we were reading before. Maharishi Pariksit said to the personality Kali, you're out of here. Because in my kingdom, this, what you represent, has no place. We won't allow you to associate with persons in my kingdom. Now just a final comment. Remember there were four places, and then he added a fifth place? So which of those four places plus the fifth place is represented here where the personality of Kali can reside? Wasn't the hoarding of gold? Wasn't intoxication, other than, you know, intoxicated by pride? Wasn't animal slaughter? Austerity? Truthfulness? Which one is it? Prabhupada explained one of the definitions that he gave, and which I covered, is that one of the senses of truthfulness is that you have prescribed duties and you act according to those prescribed duties. And that's truthfulness. You're true to what is your duty. So in this case, the Brahmana was not true to his duty. His duty was not to assert himself over the king, calling the king a crow and a dog, and, you know, despicable behavior, and cursing him to die. That's not the role of the Brahmana. The role of the Brahmana is spiritual elevation. So he wasn't truthful in that sense of truthfulness. He wasn't truthful to his duty. He wasn't bearing the quality that a Brahmana should have. Now how does that apply to us? We're in training to become Vaishnavas. So we have certain duties or qualities of a Vaishnava that we should be cultivating and manifesting. To the degree that we're neglecting that, there's an opportunity for Kali to enter. We become agents of Kali. We can just, you know, start whole-scale quarrels and wars, depending upon how strong that deviation is from what a Vaishnava should be doing. So those hallmark things are very essential things for a Vaishnava. like truthfulness, like humility, like pridelessness. These are very important characteristics of a Vaishnava. So in our training, those who are giving you training want to help you become free from those things so that Kali can't influence your heart and the community. That's what it means to be part of a Vaishnava community. I want that. I'm ready for that. I'm eager for that association, that training, that kind of very special spiritual care. Then things can work very nicely. And if we're resisting, then we become an agent of Kali, an instrument of quarrel and dissension, hypocrisy, and so on. See how it works? Very nice. It's very clear. Okay. I'll end with that and see if there's any comments, questions. It's our last session together, so speak now or see you later. Yeah.
Maharaj, in one sense, Shruti was just induced by Kali. He was used by Kali in a particular way.
In one sense, but he also was a receptive field for it. He can't, you know, go before the judge and say, Your Honor, Kali did it to me.
So my question was, how would the in today's context, somebody like that, how would the Vaishnavas be affected? What kind of...
It's unfortunate. He's an unfortunate person who's an agent of Kali. Because of his misfortune, he's become an agent of Kali. So, one of the rules is you don't hate the person, but you can hate the behavior. The Christian saying is you don't condemn the sinner, but the sin. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to like a bad behavior while being compassionate to the person. And we can see what's coming up is how the father responds. How would we see the situation? Take a look at how the father responds. He's a very qualified person. Prabhupada gives him very high credit for being on a platform, same platform as Maharaj Parikshit. And his response was very similar to Maharaj Parikshit. He took full responsibility himself for the action of his son. And was thinking of the welfare of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit took full responsibility of what had happened upon himself and held no animosity towards the brahmana. Blameless. They're both the well-wishers of the other. What should I do for irreligious life already spent, whose reaction seems to be beyond my tolerance? In short, two things: tolerate. But even better than tolerating is by engaging in enthusiastic devotional service, that reaction can be eliminated by the power of devotional service. What's the remedy for subtle irreligious thought when influences, which influence the mind by force? you don't identify with the mind. You pay the price for past misdeeds by having those misdeeds come to the mind instead of reenacting them again in real life, because you're a devotee. This is a purification for a devotee. Something that past bad thing may come to the mind. Prabhupada calls it impure reminiscence. So that's a price that we have to pay. Just don't identify with it any more than you might not identify with, you know, something in a movie or something like that. Something that's not real. It's not real. Whole material existence is not real, so we don't identify. It's asat. We don't identify with it. And withdraw your consciousness from that and place it on sat. Chant Hare Krishna. Place your consciousness in sat. Okay. What should have been Sringi's response when he heard about his father being garlanded by a dead snake? If he was a humble boy, or brahminical in nature? That's a nice question. Well, how did Sringi's father respond? Similarly, you know, for a small boy to act maturely may seem like too high an expectation. But I've seen small children act more maturely than adults sometimes, just because they're not identifying to some degree, to a lesser degree, they're not identifying with the body or the mind. But they can exhibit, like Prahlad Maharaj for sure, exhibited, you know, such mature behavior, although he was small, very young. He was seen by the demigods as their superior because of his spiritual wisdom, his Krishna consciousness. So a small child can look at a situation where something unfortunate has befallen their parents. Certainly they would be concerned about the well-being and respect and the dignity of their parents. But they should never lose their gravity out of respect for the king. Or, you know, how has this taken place? My father is faultless. And the king is also faultless. How has this taken place? And go and comfort the father. But not feel ill will towards whoever it was that put the snake. That's for sure. Another question. Parikshit Maharaja's acts appear to be prideful, but because he is a pure devotee, one should not judge his acts whimsically. Is this the understanding we should have? Yes. What Maharaj Parikshit did was not right. It wasn't befitting a person of his position to do such a thing. How do we view such a thing? We view such a thing the way that Krishna says we should view such a thing. Api chet sudarajaro bhajate mam ananya bhaksadori vasamantavya. We should view him as a sadhu. The behavior was asadhu. But he's a sadhu. Shown by, after the incident is over, what does he do? He exhibits the character of a sadhu. Immediately, even before he found out, and when he found out, and everything thereafter, he's a sadhu. So we should regard him that way. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. by being in the mood of a servant. Very simple. If there's something, I'm over here and there's something over there, and something over there, it's clear to me, there's some discrepancy. Now what do I do? In the mood of service, I think, how can I be of some service? Immediately. And Krishna will give the intelligence, how you can be of some service. Krishna can also give you intelligence how to forget Krishna and how to get involved in the material energy, finding fault with the person. You stay in the internal energy by being always in the mood of servant of Krishna. So if you find yourself in a position where you need to speak about that situation or that person, it's in the mood of service. And otherwise you don't speak. You don't hold some ill feeling towards the person. You're still wishing to be of some service. But even talking about, don't make it a point to talk about something that's out there that needs some attention. Unless it's there's some practical service spirit and application. Otherwise, it's like, you know, the people out talking, gathering water. It's Brahmyakatha. It's a daily reminder of what Brahmyakatha is. It's great. We don't do that. Anything else? Just stretching? Okay. How about over here? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.